gave her a special dispensation. And the neighbors are mowing the grass. Hopefully that won't get too loud.
Better than smoking.
Last week we had roofers.
That's true.
Yeah, they started somewhere out, where were we at? It was loud. Well, this thing's going.
They are.
I'm wondering if that's where our tire got messed up.
Were there a tire blew?
No, by the roofers.
Well, they're across the street, so I didn't.
Yeah, when we drove out.
You found a staple in the tire.
A roof staple?
Well, it could have fell off the truck or something.
Well,
they're
too
far away for staples to be flying off the roof, but they may have had some fall off their truck.
Well, it's okay because we passed out three tracks while getting the tire repaired.
The other alternative is it walked over and stapled your tire, and if that's the case.
I guess that's could great, be possible.
Some rough stuff there.
Jenny, right?
A what?
Jenny.
Jenny.
We have two Jennys.
What's the other Jenny?
Two. A John, a Johnny. And then we have a Janie and a Janice.
And a Jill.
A lot of J's around here. Hers is a G, but it's still a J.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
We just like the J thing because
of. Okay, is this close enough, Jesse?
Hello,
Pedro. This is for you, buddy.
Probably a little closer. You talk
ba,
quieter.
Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-
couple weeks ago was it was turned down. Somebody turned it down.
Stay out of the medicine cabinet. Yeah. Check to make sure it's turned
out. That's what
you take time.
I don't know why.
That's probably.
Music.
All right, Doug.
It's a noon.
If you don't mind asking the Lord for his choice blessings on today's Bible study, it could go in all sorts of directions. We're going to try to keep afloat.
Dear Lord, we pray for such a wonderful day today, and it's a blessing to be in a church where we got the air conditioning and everything's so nice and everything. Hey, Al, we're praying for John. John can bring out some nuggets so we can all learn and glean from. And we ask in Jesus' holy precious name.
Amen. Okay, let's see. We're going to attempt to do 15 verses today. Normally that would be a gigantic problem, but today most of it's just sort of repeat stuff.
We call it narrative.
Narrative. And it's it'll be interesting to see what you guys come up with also as this is taught here. Let's go ahead and we'll go 1 through 15. I'll start with the odd verse. You guys read the even verses. Okay, I'll start with the odd one. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Centuria.
That ye receive her in the
Lord,
as
become
a saint,
and
that
ye assist
her
in
whatsoever
business
she hath
need of
you.
For
she hath
been
a
succor
of
many,
and of
myself
also.
Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus,
who have
for my life
laid
down
their
own
necks,
unto whom not only I give
thanks,
but
also all
the
churches
of
the
Gentiles.
Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Salute my well-beloved Epaphroditus, who is the first fruits of Achaia unto Christ.
Greet Mary, who
bestowed
much
labor
on
us.
Salute Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners. who are of note among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me.
Greet Ananias, my beloved in the Lord.
Salute Urban, our helper in Christ, and Stachys, my beloved.
Salute Apelles, approved in Christ.
Salute them
which are of Aristobulus' household.
Salute Herodian, my kinsman. Greet them that be of the household of Narcissus, which are in the Lord.
Salute Tryphena and Tryphosa, who labor in the Lord.
Salute the beloved Persis, which labored much in the Lord. Salute Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine.
Salute Asclepius, Phlegon, Hermas, Patrobus, Hermes,
and the brethren which are with them. Salute Philos, the Apollos, and Julia, Nerus, and his sister, and Olympus, and all the saints which are with them. Wow. If these guys were members here at BBF, give us a couple of weeks, we'll have these names down pat. Okay? These are not, for us, it's not common names.
I see what he's up to.
Oh, yeah.
Look what he's sticking me with next week, verse 16.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Salute one another with a holy kiss.
I'll skip next week.
I'll have Brother Doug and Brother John give us a demonstration.
I'll
demonstrate with
John.
There you go.
Okay. I did a little reading and research on here. Someone commented that verse 16:24 or chapter 16 verse 24 was added to the originals. So I threw that one out. There's a lot of speculation as people went through all these names. I do remember one sermon on this way back in the middle 80s. And I don't remember a whole lot about it. And as we look at the Word of God here, there are so many times we can read over, just like we did here, and just pass by and not do any thinking at all, and not pick up anything.
I get excited when I read these names because we're going to meet these people.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, you think about all these people, we're going to meet them one day. We're going to at least, you know, see who they are and get to know a little bit.
Get to meet Narcissus.
He was definitely named by pagans.
Yes, that's what I was thinking.
Okay, the first thing we want to look at is the word commend.
He's a pagan and he got saved.
First word we want to look at is the word commend. Paul is saying here, I commend unto you, Phoebe. Now, who is he commending her to? The people at Rome, because the epistle is written to the Romans. So he says, I'm commending Phoebe to you. The word commend has a whole lot of types of definitions to it. One definition means to commit. Commit. Let's take a look at Luke 23:46. Luke 23:46, we've got that one.
Luke 23:46. Yes, that would be me.
All right.
I forget there, hold on. Luke 23:46. No, that's chapter 24, really long. All right, 23:46. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost.
All right. Part of the word command means to commit. Here we see our Lord Jesus Christ saying his last words before his soul leaves the body. And he says, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. I'm committing my spirit unto you. So the moment that the soul left the body, it goes to be with God. It's committed unto him. It didn't go anywhere else. Let's take a look at 2 Timothy 1:12. 2 Timothy 1.
I do.
Okay, Doug.
For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded, and he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day.
Now, here's the Apostle Paul. 2 Timothy is his final epistle before he goes home. And he says, I know whom I've committed my soul to.
Amen.
To the Lord. So the word command means, again, to commit. Let's take a look at Romans 5:8. Romans 5:8.
God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Amen.
How about that?
Amen.
He commended. He committed. You can't ask for a better marriage commitment than that. He committed his love to who? To every single person on this planet.
Right.
There's not a single person that can't say God doesn't love him. Right here. But God commended. He committed his love toward us. How did God commit his love toward us? He died on the cross for our sins.
Amen.
All right. One of the things, I'll share with you just a little bit in church work. When the person is brand new in the Lord, you know, born again, they have a big trouble of faith. Not that they're... Sometimes it deals with... the foundation of the faith that they believe in, they're unsure. A lot of pastors, when they get into the pastorate, are unsure, so they swipe other people's, you know, they don't study the Word of God, they swipe someone else's message and go right down the line. But here, when it comes to commending, as far as for the people in the flock, they're looking to the pastor for a commendation to be approved. And a lot of them will try to please the pastor by cutting the grass, by doing things around the church, putting extra money in the offering plate. And guys, our commending has to come from the Lord.
Amen.
It cannot come from a pastor. It can't come from a deacon. It can't come from anyone else. I'd like to have it, try to nail it down for you a little bit here. Always look to the Lord to be commended. Look to him. And I would tell you this, in the time of Jeremiah's time, who in the time of Jeremiah commended Jeremiah? Not a single person. No one. Zero. How many people at the time Christ was around in the temple commended the Lord? They were jealous. They were envy. They said, someone's going to die for our nation, and it ain't going to be me. All right? Commend. To be approved of, to be committed to. Be committed to the Lord and let him work it out. Let's take a look. It also means to give in charge. Let's take a look at 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 18 to 20. 1 Timothy chapter 1.
Is it verse 18?
Yeah, 18 to 20.
Shall I do it?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith, this is right, correct?
Yeah. Yep.
Holding faith and faith in a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck.
of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme.
Yeah. We're in warfare, guys. You need to be committed. You have Timothy's given a charge here from Paul. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before thee, that by them thou mightest hold, mightest for a good warfare. It's a charge. It's a commitment. It's being commended. Let's take a look at the word commend also means to make acceptable. Ephesians 1:6. To make acceptable. In the times that I had great doubt on salvation, this is one of my favorite verses. It's got Ephesians 1:6.
To the praise and the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us acceptable unto the beloved.
Yeah. He's made us accepted. We are committed. We are committed. We're entrusted to him. He's made us accepted. So when we come to, in Romans here, when we come to Sister Phoebe here, Paul says, I'm commending you. I'm trusting in your guys' charge. You're going to take care of this lady when she shows up. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister. I looked up the word, one of the King James sites I went on to. In your Bible, it should be P-H-O-E-B-E. And this one side had it spelled P-H-E-B-E.
Change
the spelling. It's the same word, but someone took the liberty to go ahead and take the O out. All right? I looked up the word Phoebe, and it means shining, or it means to radiate, or another word, to glow. Who's got, let's see, Matthew 5:16.
Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven.
Yep. Let your light shine. What's the light? Comparing scripture, what are some verses you know about light? Besides Genesis 1:3. Okay, Psalm 119, 130. The entrance of thy words giveth light. Light comes from where? The book. Every time you open up the Bible and read the Bible and let the verses sink in, that's light. You're getting light. Meaning, in our soul is normally darkness. And when we take these words and memorize them and meditate on them, we're getting light into our soul. In the book of 1 John, it might be chapter 4 or chapter 1, but in there it says, God is light. God is light. Let your light. What's our light? The Lord Jesus Christ. John 8:12. I am the light of the world. Every time we praise and magnify the Lord, the light is shining. So here we have this lady called Phoebe, and Paul says, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at 10 Cree, whatever. The place where this church is at, that she was a member of, is about, I think it was about 9 miles away from Corinth. So if you look, if you can find out where Corinth is in Greece and go 9 miles east, approximately, that's where this place was. And also,
Okay.
So that gives you a location of where this lady's from.
I just want to say, before you move on to the next verse, I figure
verse about light is Revelation 21, 23, actually two verses, 23 and 24. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it.
Amen. Yeah, you can connect that to the Christmas story. Because when the angel showed up, the light shone on the shepherds.
I don't, she probably was named by a pagan, but it's interesting that we're told to be a light, and her name is
Light.
Light, and then we're all going to shine with the light of His glory forever. That's just.
Yeah. Well, a former place where Jill and I attended. We were told by those in leadership position that none of the Bible words with names have has any meaning to it. So don't study it. I thought, what a dumb idiot. There, you can learn and glean from studying any of the names in the Bible. We could take all those names that we don't know how to pronounce, and you can find probably a good Bible study in every one of them. All right? Don't be limited.
It might have meant that it doesn't necessarily mean that the person reflects their name. Because that's true even today.
Oh, I agree.
But the names themselves, a lot of the names are used as words in Greek. But there are also names like, my name is Gregorius, and would be the equivalent of saying someone's vigilant. But then it's also a name.
Right.
So most names have meanings that.
Right, but I would say you're vigilant.
Well,
you're watching everything around. You're keeping your eyes open.
See, that's the BC grid. the AD grid after Christ grid. Yeah. The BC grid is not vigilant.
Yeah. Well, sure. But
my name didn't fit at all.
Right, but will we? Yeah, but how many people in Scripture has named Abram and God changed it to Abraham?
Yeah.
Before we were sons of the devil. And now we're sons of God. There's a transition time frame. One time I was reading Scripture, and the Lord says, look up Jezebel. See what Jezebel means. I said, okay. So I whipped out one of my best. I collect books that has meaning to names on it. So I looked up Jezebel, and I about fell out of my chair. Because Jezebel means purity. And as a parent, who would not want to name your daughter Purity? All right? And this woman was the total, exact opposite of purity. And the lesson we would have to learn from the name of Jezebel is purity without faith is not purity.
That's right.
Purity can only come through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And here's a lady running around whose name was Purity, and she didn't see God anywhere. She saw a false religion. See, so just from that, you can learn. You can glean from all of it.
I might also explain why I think they tweaked that, and that the same name is Isabel. And you name a girl Isabel, most people don't think of Jezebel.
Ah. See, I learned something new there.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's where I looked up one time. You should check me out, friends.
And you think of Cephas, too, and the rock, and, word Cephas, Peter.
Right. So, you can learn a whole lot. Yes, Johnny.
You've already made a couple examples, but it is pretty clear that God through His Word, points out the idea of the importance of names in many places. Because, it reminds me of, wasn't it, I can't think of the specific one, but I know we studied it recently. One of the Old Testament books was where, was it Jeremiah? Or, I don't know, it was one of them where he had to marry a prostitute, and then that each kid that he had was given a name that was
Hosea.
Yeah, that was Hosea, yeah. And that whole situation where God is having him name the children and it means something.
It's according to the name, because sometimes the name became known as something because the person who had the name
Right.
And but it, yeah. then there's other times, and it also, I think, has a lot to do with what John said, is you can be like Apollos. You know, he was named after a Greek god and never changed his name even after he was saved. But there are some people who were saved, like Saul, you know, and
yeah.
God changed and called him Paul, and Abram to Abraham, Jacob to Israel.
Yeah.
So it's according to who did the naming, because yeah. if it was just your parents, that was just kind of a thing. But if it was a name that they gave you, because I don't think, I don't know, in some cultures, if you didn't name a kid when he was born, they waited to see some traits. So that would matter too.
Yeah, I guess the point is, though, to say that the name never means anything
no.
is clearly wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just everything, you know, it's yeah. proper order, as the Bible says. You have to look at why did they get that name, when did they get that name. And
yeah.
Apollos, though, even though he was named after a Greek god, is a testimony to the fact that, you know, even somebody named after a pagan named after a pagan, and God still saved him and used him.
Yeah.
He was one of the great preachers of Christian history.
Yeah. Well, the guy that said that was an ESV man. And he ended up getting a job as a pastor in Upper Michigan. And it was a King James church. And he told them, he says, I read out of the ESV. And they took him anyway.
They weren't a King James church then?
Well, they were desperate to have a pastor. Okay, never be desperate for a pastor, guys. Never.
They were a church with a King James statement of faith, and a bunch of people didn't care.
Yeah.
That's what it comes down to.
Yeah, because the devil always brings his best before God brings his. Check it out. Just wait on the Lord. He'll bring the right person. JD.
you were talking about life, the life. And I found this in 1 John 1:5. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Right.
Yeah. Well, if you go to Isaiah, I think 45, somewhere towards the end of the chapter, you'll see where God says, I create darkness. What a study that is. Going back to this verse here. This lady, Phoebe, says, which is a servant of the church. Now, guys, the church here is not a building. It's people.
Amen.
She was a servant of people. And every single one of us is called to be servants of the Lord. Let's take a look at... John 12:26. Anyone got that one there?
There you go.
Okay.
You
go ahead, please. Yeah. The 26th of chapter 12 of John. No,
John.
Just the book of John.
Matthew, Mark, Luke, John.
I can do it.
Go ahead.
Maybe get the next one?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor.
Yeah. That verse right there tells you a whole lot. Here's a lady that's serving the Lord, and she's serving him at the church, and she's ministering to people. And that's the type of heart that we should have here at BBF Ohio and wherever else you guys are joining in.
Amen.
Be a servant of the Lord. He says, where I am, there's my servant. All right? Always have in your heart to want to be a servant. It's not just a special gift. It's something that every single person can do. You look ahead. You look for some ways to serve, and the Lord opens up doors. He opens up opportunities. Because the same way inside the church you learn to be a servant, then you take that same mentality out to the unsaved world, And now you have opportunities of leading people to the Lord for salvation. Why? Because you have a servant's heart.
Amen.
All right? And where's the Lord at? He's out in the field waiting for someone to join him, to take over. Okay, back to Romans 16 here. Verse 2. That you receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, and that you assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you. For she hath been a succorer of many, and of myself also. All right. If you notice there, as becometh saints, he's got Romans 1:7. Romans 1:7. Romans.
I got it.
Okay, Doug.
To all that be in Rome, be beloved of God, called to be as saints. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Okay. The Epistle of Romans starts off with Paul talking to the Romans and saying, you guys are called to be saints. So now we come to this verse here, verse 2, and he's again reminding them, as becometh saints. As you become a saint. And he's saying here, and that your sister in whatsoever business she hath need of you, for she hath been a succorer of many, and of myself also. The word succorer, S-U-C-C-O-U-R-E-R, it means to help. She was a helper. It means to help. It means to relieve when in difficulty. Relieve someone when they're in difficulty. It'd be like seeing someone that's got a flat tire on the highway and you'd stop off the road to help them get the tire fixed. You see them in difficulty. There are times different saints will have problems and you're given the opportunity to come alongside and help them out. To relieve when in difficulty. To relieve someone who's in want. Jill and I used to be involved in a bus ministry and occasionally we would help clothe the people and occasionally we'd help feed them. They were in distress. They had a need. And so we would take care of them. It also means to assist and deliver from suffering. So if you think of a hospital, the doctors, the nurses, the people there are to help you overcome the difficulties that you're going through. You're being succored. Almost a year ago today, I came down with low blood. And so June 11th, I think it was. And that's when I went to the hospital for 5 days because I didn't have any blood. And they helped me out. My blood level was 4.4, and it's supposed to be between 12 and 15. And so praise the Lord, he spared me for another year. And I think in this time we've done like 8 gospel tracts already. I'm working on the critical race theory. And that's going to be a barn burner. Yes?
I had a fellow that teached me years ago and helped me because people pronounce that sucker, and it's succor.
Succor. Yeah. Right.
So that way you're not being suckered. Yes. You're being succored.
Succored.
Well, sucker is S-U-C-K-E-R.
Yeah, I always think of that stuff going out in the garden and breaking off the sucker, you know, the sucker plants. that's what they do. So the other ones get bigger. You know.
Yeah.
So there's different meanings is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
Yeah, amen.
But the way it's spelled, too, it has a succor, not a sucker, spelling to it.
Okay.
And it just...
accidents.
But when I was a kid, 20s, you can just
yeah.
The reading of that, I can't remember the passage, but there's one passage that if you pronounce it suckered, it sounds like, even in the reading, that it's not being taken. And with the suckor, it made you understand, oh, he's not taking them, he's helping them.
Well, a good way to look at this, let's take a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1 and 2.
We then are workers together with him. I beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For he said, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I secured, whatever it is. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation.
Amen. Okay. So when you hear that word, connect it to your salvation on the day that you got saved. Okay. On the day you got saved, you were helpless. There was no way in the world you could get saved unless God helped you out. And going right back to the word commend, God committed his love towards us and that Christ died for us. And then he helped us out by opening our hearts so we can receive Christ as Savior. All right? And I like the word grace. I've discovered something else about grace this week that you have to remember, a lot of times you spend a lot of time in churches and hearing different sermons, you'll hear so many things. And that's why it's important for you to check it out and study it out yourself. But who knows some of the definitions you're told of what grace is? What's the Baptist favorite, Jill?
God's riches at Christ's expense.
Yes, that's one. Okay. We've got another one.
God's redemption at Christ's expense.
Johnny.
I believe the other one we heard many times, there was something to do with God giving me something I don't deserve, I think.
Unmerited favor.
Unmerited favor. That is normally the Baptist traditional statement that I've heard.
Yeah, I think
that's the one. Well, while I was working this week, there was this a person in a, I guess like a van or something, and this person was just bawling their eyes out. And so I came up alongside of them, and they just wanted to stay in the shade. There was a group of Christians meeting in, an hour or so from there. And there's a group called, I guess you call it Celebrate Recovery. All right, and that's where everyone deals with all the addictions and stuff like that they have. And this person used to attend that, and then in the last 6 months backslid. And so I don't know what the problem was, except they were just bawling their eyes out because they had fallen again. And so I went ahead and I, that was mine.
You have to start singing a tune.
Yeah. So I started sharing about going into the Psalms and Proverbs a little bit and getting back into fellowship with the Lord. And I realized at that point, how do we get grace? How do we get grace? And it's found in Peter and in James. I have. I have someone that's sending me text messages that my phone can't receive. I have no idea. And they'll send me 4 or 5 at the same time. All I do is when I put get on it, I lose 30 seconds of time.
That's not the way you get grace, right?
Right. So what I do is I just hit the delete button. All right, I have no idea who sent me anything. I can't even find a way to trace it because I can't get it. So it's muted for the service. I don't have to, you're sorry, we're done, okay? So at any rate, you get grace by being humble. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So I finally started connecting some dots with the Lord on this one.
What was that reference, by the way?
I think it's like Peter 5:5, and it might be James 4:6. All right, God resists the proud, but gives grace unto the humble. So, I'm just going to throw this out for you to meditate on. to add to how you think of grace. What is grace? It's God humbling you. Humbling you so that you can be, so that you can have mercy and be able to be in harmony with his word.
But you remember, too, that you have to add that grace comes through faith.
Yes.
And so before faith, you get mercy.
Yeah.
Through faith, you get grace. So
yeah.
Everyone receives God's mercy to some extent, but without grace, you go to hell.
Yeah. Well, without being humble.
But that's what's missing in the gospel that people preach is repentance.
Exactly.
The whole idea of repentance is you're simply humbling yourself.
Exactly. But if you look at it this way, is when we're going out sharing the good news, people are so proud.
Yeah.
In Deuteronomy 8, verses 1 to 3, it deals with the time when God was giving them the manna. All right? And God was basically saying in there, he went ahead and pronounced everyone in Israel proud. And by giving them the bread every day, they had to bow down to pick it up. He was humbling them. So that man might learn that he doesn't live by food alone, but by every word of God. He was humbling them so that they could know that they have to live by the word of God. But that's just some food for thought for you to think on. Let's take a look at, for the remainder of the verses here, there's two main words you'll see there, the word greet and the word salute. The word greet, I believe, is in there five times, like verse 3, greet Priscilla and Aquila, and then verse 6, greet Mary. Verse 8, greet Amphilius. The word salute is in there 23 times. 23 times he says salute, salute, salute. The word greet basically means to welcome someone or to embrace them. So here at BBF, we have arms open wide. You can either get a handshake or you can get a hug. Or you would do the elbow. But that's what the word greet means. You're greeting them. The word salute means the act of expressing some kind wishes to someone. You're saying something nice. Oh, you know, you got a great smile today. You know, or you look great today. You know, how you doing in the Lord? But you're trying to give them a kind wish. It's also showing respect. In the military, it's respect. You're saluting the position of the person there.
Of course, we all remember Hee Haw. Salute!
Uh-oh.
Yes, Jenny.
Salute. I would imagine that's where we get the word salutations.
Salutation, yeah.
Salutation.
Okay.
Very good. Very good. When we come to verse 4. Talking about Priscilla and Aquila. Verse 3, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers. So they were helpers, they were succorers, succoras. Good enough. They were succoras, they were servants. They helped out Paul. Verse 4, who have for my life laid down their own necks. All right? Laying down your neck has several possibilities for it. Whenever the Romans would conquer another army, they would take the general of the other army and put their foot on their neck. They conquered them. Of course, the other thing of laying down your neck, Paul doesn't know it at this point, but he's going to give up his neck.
Yeah.
He's going to be beheaded. And unfortunately, that's going to be the big style come up here in the 7-year tribulation period.
Right. You know, the other way people put it is they put their neck on the line.
Yeah. You know, but you're surrendering. You're whatever. Unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. So I call it Priscilla not only just helped out Paul and all the dangers he went through, he helped out a lot of churches by doing the very same thing.
Amen.
So it wasn't just to one person, it was to many people. However you become a servant here, a helper here, however you hazard your life with the other believers here, opens up many possibilities outside the doors. So the rest of the verses here deal with saluting everyone. I've got a few comments on verse 7. Salute and Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen, and my fellow prisoners who are known among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me. Now notice the two names here. He calls it kinsmen. If you studied the book of Ruth, you know about the kinsman redeemer. That someone in the family that was supposed to take up the line. Here, Paul had, looks like two kinsmen here, two people in his family line that got saved before he did. Now, the best thing I could tell you out of here, I started counting all these kinsmen and all these people here. And there's a big thing on here. Let's go to verse 11. Verse 11. Salute Herodian, my kinsman. So there's another kinsman. That's three of them. Then let's go to verse 13. Salute Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine. How about that? Now, chances are actually the way this reads, Paul and him do not have the same dad. That would be an excellent guess on here. But they had the same mother.
Or that his dad never got saved.
Right, his dad could never, yeah. So, but here we have Paul's mother, and I would say based on the context of Romans 16, I would say she probably was saved.
And you remember in Acts, his sister's son, his nephew, saved his
neck. Exactly.
Saved I have his that, neck.
Yeah, that's Acts 23:16.
Yeah.
And so the fact that Paul's sister had a son that was saved would tell me that the sister was saved, which tells me I think the mom was saved. And now he named three kinsmen so far that are saved. And verse 21, Timotheus my workfellow. But then he says, and Lucius and Jason and Sosipater, my kinsmen, salute you. Three more. It looks like Paul had a whole household of people that were saved before him. Or were saved through him, or saved through his family.
But you also, there's a possibility he's referring to some of these as the fact that they're Israelite, they're Jews, mixed in with Gentiles and all this. Because he refers to his kinsmen as the Israelites in Romans 11.
Right. But the fact that he had the kinsmen before in the other places, all used in the same context. So my speculation would be here that one of the reasons Paul got saved is that his family members were getting saved, and they were praying hard for him. They were praying so hard for Paul. If you ever study prayer in Scripture, you'll always notice before something big happens, there's prayer. 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 Fascinating. And I guess one other thing here, let's see.
Can I say one thing before we move on there? We got to close it up with 27. But that phrase, verse 7, I'm going to pick up on next week and then jump back down to verse 16, 17. But who also were in Christ before me.
Yes.
That's an important phrase there, real key phrase.
Okay. That's amen. Well, in verse 9, the last part is, salute Urbane, our helper in Christ. The big thing you should pick up on all these names, that these people were servants of the Lord, they were helpers, they found ways of ministering one to another. And that's the way a real church should operate.
Amen.
Amen and amen. So that's those are some of the gleanings I picked up. I read what some of the other commentators had to say about it. And I thought, it's all speculation. And why bother you with speculation? You don't grow with speculation. So today you learned about being a light, about where Christ is, there's a servant. You learned all the things that's connected with the cross of commending. These are, they're all connected together. All right, let's have a word of prayer. Sean, if you could close us out with prayer.
Dear Lord, we thank you for today and for the lesson that John Albert was able to bring to us. We just thank you for us being able to have a wonderful place to come to and worship you and to remember what you did for us a long time ago, giving your son to us so we can be with you.